serious crisis to go to waste.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
It's time for On Target Radio, Chicagoland's only radio show dedicated to the red meat issues that affect your life, from gun control to freedom of speech. Now, debating, debunking, and discussing today's hot issues, here are your hosts, David Lombardo and Gretchen Fritz.
And welcome to On Target Radio. I'm David Lombardo.
I'm Gretchen Fritz. Tonight, we'll be looking at Obamacare with our guest, C. Stephen Tucker, founder of and principal broker for Health Insurance Mentors.
So be sure to give us a call at 312-642-5600 or go to Facebook, like our page, On Target Radio, and ask a question there.
And now, from the seething cauldron of personal opinion, it's time for David's Rant of the Week.
Rant of the Week. Rant of the Week. Rant of the Week.
What never ceases to amaze me is how liberals get all bent out of shape when I make some casual comment such as, you know, this president is the biggest liar in political history. The thing is, when you cite very specific examples of outright lies, liberals just call you a racist. I could fill pages with lies that this president has said on the record, in full living color, right off his teleprompter and available on YouTube. When he swapped five Taliban terrorists for Army Sergeant Bergdahl, Obama justified it by saying, this is what happens at the end of wars. It was true for George Washington, it was true for Abraham Lincoln, and it was true for FDR. At some point, you make sure that you try to get your folks back, unquote. See, there's a little problem there. As president, George Washington would have had to take a trip in Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine to do that. He didn't become president until 6 years after the Revolutionary War ended. There weren't any prisoners left to exchange. Lincoln was assassinated in April 1865, a month before the war ended. And FDR died of a stroke before World War II ended. And when it did end, a lot of Japan had been converted to glass. And the Germans were busy cleaning up rubble that previously had names such as Dresden. Prisoners were simply released. This administration is taking lying to an art form, a really bad spray painting trains type of art form. So it's no surprise that when Jonathan Gruber, the architect of the Affordable Care Act, was inadvertently caught on video admitting Obamacare was sold to the public based on carefully crafted lies. Gruber, a professor of economics at MIT, is videotaped saying, quote, Obamacare would never have passed if the administration had been honest, unquote. And he added, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass, unquote. Obama claimed that there were 7 million enrollments, but Kathleen Sebelius, the head of Health and Human Service Secretary at the time, admitted only about 80% actually followed through and paid a premium. And she went on to say that the quoted 7 million was at least a million too high to begin with. Millions of people now have health care in the U.S., the president told us. True enough. But millions of people had health care before Obamacare. Industry analysts have figured out that about 23% of those on Obamacare are first-time insurance buyers, which is supposed to be the point of the whole exercise. If you like your plan, you can keep it. Guess where all the rest of the roughly 5 million people insured on Obamacare came from? Right. Obama killed their insurance policies, and the IRS, claiming that they were now uninsured, threatened to fine them into bankruptcy if they didn't buy insurance from the official ACA exchange. By some estimates, the Affordable Care Act has created as much as 70 to 80% of its own customer base by canceling existing insurance policies and forcing people to buy the government plan. Ultimately, statistics show about 2% of the total uninsured population in the U.S. got insurance. But get this. Obama has already spent $23.6 billion implementing the Affordable Care Act and has congressional approval to spend up to $105.5 billion more over the next 5 years. Okay, so here's the point. If 70% of those now insured under Obamacare had insurance to begin with, and were paying their premiums. That means Obamacare attracted about 1.8 million people who were previously uninsured, which was the goal of the Affordable Health Care Act. If Obamacare spends an estimated $408.5 billion to get people to sign up who previously had no insurance, the government is spending about $71,000 a person. The Affordable Care Act is a sham. It was sold to the American people with lies. It hasn't done anything it was purported to do and is nothing more than a tax on John Q. Now that the Congress is controlled by Republicans, it's time to drive a stake through Obamacare's heart and bury it once and for all. And that, Gretchen, is my rant for the week.
I would rather just have a check for $71,000.
I would go for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. For those of you who get my newsletter every week, you may have noticed a slight change in the ending. What happened was we were working on two endings, two different ways of ending it, and I mixed the numbers by accident because it was like 2 in the morning, and I came out with they spent $316 million per person. That's not true. Okay. Yeah, it was it was a late night. What can I tell you?
It's still a big number, but not.
Yeah, it was just a late night, you know. So our guest tonight is Steve Tucker, founder and principal broker for the Health Insurance Mentors. Give us a call 312-642-5600. We're talking about Obamacare. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not again in the Supreme Court?
It's going to go back to the Supreme Court starting spring of next year. And the reason it's heading back is because of the illegal actions that the IRS took in June of 2012. There are two sections in the Obamacare law, Section 1311 and Section 1321. And Section 1311 allows the Internal Revenue Service to pass out what they call advanced premium tax credits, which are in slang known as subsidies, to artificially lower the high cost of Obamacare-approved qualified health plans, right? So Section 1311 says that that can only occur in states that voluntarily open what's called a state-based Obamacare health insurance exchange. Out of our 50 states, only 14 states decided to do that. So they had a big problem because if it's not a state-based exchange and the legislator or governor rejects a state-based exchange, then the IRS had no authority under the Obamacare law as written to pass out any subsidies in those 36 states. So Barack Obama just got a hold of the Internal Revenue Service and said, if you're not too busy attacking the Tea Party, conservative groups, Jewish groups, Christian groups, if you could just rewrite the law and empower yourself with powers you were not granted in the original legislation, and we don't need to bother with Congress or the United States Senate, just do it. And so they did. And when they did that, all the IRS subsidies started being passed out in January 2014 in all 50 states, or 57 if you're Barack Obama. So that happened without any congressional approval whatsoever, and it was illegal. And so immediately Attorney General Scott Pruitt out of Oklahoma said, wait a minute, you have no right under the law. I've read the law. You can't do this. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to amend my existing lawsuit, and I'm going to sue the Internal Revenue Service. Then a great gentleman named Michael Cannon from the Cato Institute started traveling the country and telling all these governors, don't open a state-based exchange. Don't do it. There are strings attached. So those governors decided not to do so. And now we're in the situation where there's four cases, four lawsuits, King v. Burwell, which is the one that's going to be heard next year in spring. There's Indiana v. IRS. There's the original from Scott Pruitt. These lawsuits have all been adjudicated and heard in the lower courts, right? Now the Supreme Court has decided to hear this, and we're going to have a decision probably in about June. My worry is that Chief Justice John Roberts will probably once again be the swing vote, and we all know that he doesn't like to follow the rule of law. He actually likes to take an eraser out and change the word fine to the word tax. So this is the guy that may end up being the swing vote again. But if the rule of law prevails, then the subsidies passed down in 36 states currently being done now will no longer be able to be done. And that'll be the beginning of the financial demise of Obamacare.
Which is probably the only way you're going to pound a stake through the heart of this thing. I don't see, even with the controlled Republican Congress, I don't see him just breaking its back and shutting it down.
No. If the Republicans wanted to do that, they could have done it back in March of 2011 when we took control of the U.S. House of Representatives. And they had the choice right then and there in April of 2011 when the first continuing resolution came along. And we kick the can down the road every 6 months, right, because the Democrats haven't passed a budget in so many years. And so the Republicans had the time right there to say, hey, we control the purse of Congress. So we are going to fund every other function of government except for Obamacare. And there were strong voices in the House saying to do so. Unfortunately, the leadership under John Boehner and others decided against it. And ever since then, for 3 to 4 long years, Republicans have been funding this law.
Letting Obama do his thing.
Exactly right.
The problem with you, Steve, is you're racist.
Clearly.
That's the problem. All right. You're listening to On Target Radio. We have to take a break. We will be back. When we come back, I want to ask Steve, what should Republicans do when they walk in the door and they're in total control? What can they and what should they do? So we're going to talk about that and a lot more when we come back with more On Target Radio. And you're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo and Gretchen Fritz. Here's David and Gretchen with more interesting conversation on gun control, concealed carry, freedom of speech, and other red meat issues that affect your life.
And we're back with more On Target Radio. Give us a call, 312-642-5600. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare.
Which is the biggest misnomer, I think, ever constructed.
Yeah, there's nothing affordable or care about. Yeah, the only thing is the acting part.
Yeah, I saw a meme that said it's not affordable, he doesn't care, and it's all an act.
There you go. And the who let George in? And we're talking about it tonight with C. Stephen Tucker, who is a founder and principal of a broker for Health Insurance Mentors and a genius on the subject of Obamacare. The Republicans have taken over, or they will shortly take over. If it were up to me, they'd just pound a stake through the heart of Obamacare, but that's probably not realistic. What can they do? What should they do?
There are 5 things that I would suggest, because they are largely supported by some Democrats. Barack Obama may veto some of the things that we do because, he has a pen and a phone. there are 5 things they should do. First,
pen and phone.
Right. When Republicans do take control of the Senate, they should try to restore as much power as far as health insurance regulation goes back to the states where it belongs, because that would allow the insurance regulators that were controlling things, like our Illinois Department of Insurance and other regulators on a state level, to allow health insurers to offer plans that were pre-2014 plans, with things that aren't included on the Obamacare plans, like maternity for a 62-year-old man, abortifacient drugs, all these things that aren't medically necessary and have driven up the cost of health insurance. So that's the first thing. The second is they should repeal the medical device tax, the pharmaceutical tax, and the third largest tax in Obamacare, which is the health insurance tax. The concept of taxing health insurance companies by $104 billion is actually going to lower premiums by $2,500. That is lunacy that only Jonathan Gruber could believe in. So that has to be repealed. And then they have to repeal both the individual and employer mandates. Both of those are, one, unconstitutional. Both are extremely onerous on especially small businesses, 50 to 100. They have a reprieve now, thanks to Barack Obama's magic pen and phone, until 2016. If the Republicans could say, hey, when 2016 comes, we're going to get you completely out of that forever. You never have to deal with it. When Obama delayed it for 1 year, I had to call all of my clients between 50 and 100 and tell them, stop sweating. You've got a year to plan things. I'm telling you, they were elated that they didn't have to deal with it. So that. The other is they have to repeal the age rating under Obamacare, where the law says that the insurance companies cannot charge young people more than 3 times more than they charge old people, right? So what happens is young people pay exponentially more for health insurance than young people do. It's much referred to in other states as called community rating. So it ends up screwing the young guy, right? And that's really the Obama demographic, the young basement dweller who votes for Obama. What if the Republicans could say, hey, we're going to immediately lower your health insurance premiums by removing the age banding under Obamacare, and we're going to lower your premiums automatically. So these are things that are attractive both to Republicans and to Democrats. So those are things we can do right away. And some of them may be, he may threaten a veto, but because there's bipartisan support, that's the case. Lastly, we have to force the CBO and the JCT, the Joint Committee on Taxation, to publicly disclose how they score Obamacare alternatives. They currently do not do that. So if a think tank, Republican think tank, comes up and says, hey, we're going to provide an Obamacare alternative, we're going to call it the Universal Exchange Plan, we're going to call it the Affordable Care Act, whatever they come up with, if they pass that through the CBO to score it, because it's a private sector option to insuring the uninsured, the CBO will not reveal how they score those. They also won't release that information to the public. So force the CBO and the JCT to put out not only how they score private options, right, Republican alternatives to Obamacare that are private sector based, but also put it online so that we can see it, so we can really crunch the numbers between where we're going with Obamacare and where we're going with alternatives. Currently, that's not the case with either federal agency.
You're listening to Out of Target Radio. This is AM 560. The Answer. We're talking with Steve Tucker, who's founder and principal broker of Health Insurance Mentors, about the Obamacare. Here's an interesting thing. This reminds me, and I'm not saying the man is a Nazi, so don't take it to that, but it reminds me of after the war, there was not a single German on the planet who was a Nazi. You know, they didn't exist, according to Germans. How fast are Democrats running away from Gruber? Here's a guy who designed this thing. Gruber, who's Gruber? He wrote it. They know who he is, and they're running away from this guy like you know, he is poison.
Yes. Did you see Edith the Dingbat Pelosi the other night? She's like, I don't remember. I don't know who this is. He didn't score a bill or anything else. All you have to do is what's great about YouTube is that Democrats cannot run from YouTube. You pull up Pelosi just beaming about how proud she was of Jonathan Gruber crafting Obamacare. A few short years later, we don't know who he is.
I never heard of him.
Yeah. That sounds like somebody I met in my campaign.
Yeah. It is. It's, you know, we were talking about this before the show. I've gotten some email from people who go, oh, you know, you're overreacting. You're picking on people who are, you know, Democrats and stuff. But the truth is they lie. I mean, there's just no way around it. You can document, you can show action, you can show, and YouTube's perfect. You show a video of them saying something 4 years ago and a video of them saying exactly the opposite 4 years. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. And that's why I can't understand how Obama even got reelected, because we had all that video of him contradicting himself and apparently didn't do any good.
I don't recall in recent history a president getting 4 in 5 Pinocchios from the Washington Post for lying. Do you remember that? Barack Obama started off with getting 3 Pinocchios from the Washington Post for lying, saying if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Then he said that Medicaid recipients weren't included in the massive increase in Obamacare enrollment, which was another lie. His lies, his Pinocchios keep increasing as the time goes by. He's a serial liar.
Well, let's face it. He walked into office having not done anything in his life, and he got a Nobel Prize for it.
That's right.
If that doesn't set the tone that, and you know the unfortunate thing about that is some very impressive people over time have gotten the Nobel Prize. John Bardeen's and people like that, and it demeans everybody.
It does.
Well, but he has potential. Well, everybody has potential. How about if we see if he lives up to it?
That's exactly right.
So, I don't know. If it were up to me, I'd walk in there. I can't. What's the argument about just not gutting it completely? Why can't they just walk in and cancel it?
Well, they can't because he'll veto whatever they try to do.
That's true. We're not a supermajority.
That's correct. We don't have a conservative president yet. I pray that we will when the time comes. But at this point, all we can do is try to kill it as often as possible via funding mechanisms. That's a big way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that happens. I hope the Senate takes an active role in trying to stop it. Remember, Mitch McConnell, our new majority leader in the United States Senate, said that he was going to use the filibuster and a simple majority vote, 51 votes, and we're just going to kill it that way, right? And that's how he said before he got reelected. Shortly after, he was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, and he got up on the microphone, and he goes, so what are you going to do about Obamacare? Now it's your Senate majority leader.
We could probably get rid of the medical device tax. We're going to try to do that, you know.
Completely backtracked from what he said before, you know. So you got to watch these guys like hawks.
You know, the truth is, in a way, it scares me that Republicans have taken it over, because now it's theirs to lose. Mm-hmm. And it would certainly not be the first time in the history of the Republican Party that they have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, they could go in there and totally muck it up, and this whole thing turns over again, and you know, in a couple of years, and you hope it doesn't happen, but there's something in the water in Washington.
Yeah, I would tell them, just if they're going to listen to advisors, skip Jonathan Gruber.
Who's Jonathan Gruber?
My first.
I never heard of him.
I've never heard of
Jonathan Gruber. No, never heard of him at all. We're going to have to take a break here pretty soon, but one of the things that I do want to talk about is. there's got to be, you know, we were talking about this on the break. They could have just plugged the holes.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things they talk about all the time is, you know, pre-existing condition. We'll get to that later for sure. But there are legitimate people, you know, who really do need health care.
Yeah.
And I have always said that we're too wealthy a country for anyone to not get health care.
That's correct.
The problem is they threw a blanket over the entire country and smothered it. They could have just taken those people who needed it and done something. Wouldn't that not have been realistic?
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially with Medicaid. You know, our Medicaid is supposed to be a safety net, not a hammock. And what we're doing in Illinois is that we're not only circumventing the Obamacare law, we're enrolling prisoners onto Medicaid.
That is astounding.
Under Obamacare in Illinois. So you've got a single mother with three children who's struggling. You've got disabled people. The truly indigent, the people who really need help. Prisoners are in front of them.
It just amazes me. Anyway, we are going to be back with more on Target Radio after a few messages. We're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit about what are the Republicans, what could they do in terms of replacing Obamacare themselves. So we'll be back with that and more after these few messages with more on Target Radio. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
Serving
insurance mentors. And we're talking about the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. And one of the things that that we talked about earlier, pre-show, was we don't like Obamacare, but what's Plan B?
Right, exactly. So contrary to popular belief, there has been about 340 pieces of legislation sent over to the United States Senate that current Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has not brought to the floor for a vote, which is very frustrating.
And some of which are Democrat.
Yeah. And that's going to end very soon. Of those, about 20 of them were Republican alternatives to Obamacare. The two that are most recent are the American Health Care Reform Act, which everyone should Google. That's reported by most members, supported by most members of the House of Representatives, Republican members, that is. And then there is the one that I support, which is the Universal Exchange Plan. In 2012, when Mitt Romney was running for president, he had a chief health care advisor to him. His name is Avik Roy, spelled A-V-I-K, Roy. Brilliant man. Sits on the board with several different conservative think tanks and is very sharp on healthcare policy. You'll see him, you know, he's kind of on every show talking about Obamacare and the problems with it. He is one of the very few people who actually wrote an alternative to Obamacare, an actual alternative to Obamacare that would work. And obviously there would be more pages added to it once it becomes actual official law, but currently it's about 68 pages long. And every American can read it. It's called the Universal Exchange Plan. And what it does is it takes the Republican alternatives for solving Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance, employer-sponsored health insurance, the cost of medical services at the provider, you know, whether it's a hospital or a doctor, reforms the entire American healthcare reform system in 68 pages. It is a brilliant proposal. And what it does, to keep it in a small snippet so people can understand, Medicare will soon be bankrupt. It is going to very soon start paying out more than it's taking in. And so someone has to come up with an alternative. In 2012, Paul Ryan got together with a far-left liberal out of Oregon, a senator named Ron Wyden. And the two of them came together and put together a proposal to save Medicare for all future generations. That proposal was hammered by our friends on the left, of which I have none, chiefly by Debbie Wasserman Sergeant Schultz. She would go out and lie that the Republicans are going to leave senior citizens with a coupon and they'll be wandering around with this coupon and no one's going to insure them. And she just lied and lied and lied. In reality, all it did was do what Barack Obama is doing right now for people under the age of 65. Ryan wanted to, in 10 years from today, put in place a senior health insurance exchange so that when you're 55 today, you turn 65. Instead of just being stuck with fee-for-service traditional Medicare, which will be bankrupt soon, he wanted to allow the health insurance industry to come in and bid on Medicare business, Part A and B, and offer seniors private alternatives. Is that a new idea? It's not. Medicare Advantage, officially known as Part C, is a private option to traditional fee-for-service Medicare and widely popular and being dramatically attacked by the Obamacare law with hundreds of billions of dollars in cuts to it. Medicare Part D, when it was passed under President Bush, was a massive unfunded liability. We were wondering how we were going to possibly pay for it. George W. Bush said, let the private health insurance industry bid on that business. And they did. And guess what? The cost of Medicare Part D has gone down by 56% since its inception by introducing private competition into Medicare Part C and Part D. All we want to do is provide private health insurance instead of traditional fee-for-service Medicare Parts A and B. If we do that, we will save Medicare for all future generations, and we're going to do it in a very free market-based system. Will poor seniors be able to get subsidies to pay for health insurance? Yes. If they truly are indigent, it's a means-tested program so that they can get a subsidy to help them pay for health insurance. But the important thing is the wealthy people, for the first time in American history, can opt out of Medicare without forfeiting their Social Security benefits. Why are we forcing Rush Limbaugh to take Medicare or other wealthy people? They don't need Medicare. Free that up so that the program can stay alive for future generations. And that's exactly what it does. Then it takes Medicaid and takes people from the worst health care program ever devised by man, the most dangerous health care program ever devised by man, known as Medicaid. And instead of just shoving people into that system where they can't see a doctor, just because you have a Medicaid card does not mean you're going to have access to health care. So part of Dr. Roy's proposal is it puts the Medicaid population into a health insurance exchange, hence the term universal exchange plan. Now the most vulnerable in our society have the dignity to walk into a hospital with a Blue Cross Blue Shield card or a Humana card, and it actually increases their ability to see a doctor, to actually get quality care by over 96% just by doing that. So there are intelligent alternatives. We, as Republicans, have got to be able to articulate these things so that people who are worried about losing some of the good things about Obamacare, like pre-existing conditions, right? They always talk about that. We have solutions for those without bankrupting the country and without forcing you to buy anything. The other part of his plan is to repeal all of the mandates, employer and individual, and kill all of the Obamacare taxes.
And that's what I would like to see happen.
Sounds good.
All right, we're going to come back after a few messages. We're going to take a call from John and Creed, and I want to hit on the subject about pre-existing conditions because that's a real bugaboo that floats around. So all that and more on Target Radio when we come back. And you're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer. With David Lombardo and Gretchen Fritz. Here's David and Gretchen with more interesting conversation on gun control, concealed carry, freedom of speech, and other red meat issues that affect your life.
And we're back with more on Target Radio. We're going to take the call from John from Crete. Hi, John. What's your comment?
Hello. Thanks for my I have a couple comments. If I can stay on. I have a flyer. Obama is a dictator. And that if he controls your health, he controls everything. And loyal and religious America should not let him get away with it. And in his past election, even the Pope just said recently that abortion is wrong, and I would add homosexuality. But it was probably never mentioned on the air, so that is a great lacuna or emptiness in the but although I do agree, health care. And, you know, to say Obamacare is like saying, I think Joseph Stalin was called Uncle Joe or Papa Joe, and he killed 30 million. Obama is for abortion, killing American babies by sucking their brains out. So he's hardly be the one to do anything for health. And also in the election, the number two, homosexuality is wrong, and that was how they brought up. And I'll just stay on if any comments.
I absolutely agree with you, John. I couldn't agree more about the fact that someone who cares so little for life should be in charge of health. I mean, that it is completely the antithesis of everything we believe in. That's actually one of the reasons why I opted out of the whole thing. I didn't have insurance, and the mandates came in, and I went with a Christian healthcare sharing ministry because I didn't want to give them my information. I wanted no part of anything that had Obama's name on it. So I 100% agree.
The caller's right, too, about Barack Obama's disregard for life. And when he was a state senator here in our state Senate, he was famous for voting present on almost everything.
I was going to say, one of the only days he actually showed up for work.
Right. And when the one vote that he made sure to cast his vote against four times was the Born Alive Protection Act. This is a piece of legislation that Hillary Clinton wouldn't even touch, who was also pro-abortion. Where if a baby is born alive on the table, right, breathing, moving, Barack Obama would allow that child to be killed.
Smash his head in.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I mean, it's basically the Kermit Gosnell legislation.
Yeah, they would just put them. They would just like put them in a closet and wait for them to die.
That's exactly right.
But here's one thing I want to say, and I've said this several times on this show about gays, and that is, you don't wake up Monday morning and say, "I think I'm going to be gay." Anyone that thinks that is wrong. It's just who you are. And whether you like that or not, and whether your religion believes in it or not, all that's, if you're an American citizen, the fact that you happen to be gay should not preclude you from having the same rights as every other citizen in the country. I don't want to get off on the marriage thing because you know how I felt about the word marriage, not the civil union, but the word. But in terms of this, I don't know, John, are you still listening?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just, the one thing you said that, you know, bothers me a little thing is about gays, because they're people, and it's not like they say I want to be gay. It's who they are. So I mean, what do you say to somebody who that's who they are? It's not an option. You say what? They can't have health care?
Yeah, well, if you read the Bible, it sounds rough, but God is the Bible's word. In the Old Testament, adulterers, homosexuals were stoned to death. And now Jesus, the divine mercy, is offering mercy. I don't know about you, but it's just still, there was a movie about the promotion of homosexuality on Channel 50. Everywhere in America, so homosexuality is wrong. You're supposed to do good and avoid evil. Even your premise, well, people are human beings, and you choose good or evil. You will be rewarded if you do good, and you punish for evil. So there must be, in the Catholic Church, now we're getting a new archbishop, and so I hope he follows the Pope and with the life issues. You cannot use artificial means to promote a baby, like conception, or in vitro fertilization and fetal stem cells research. So I think we've been brainwashed, and like I say, everywhere you turn, it's homosexual. So they are brainwashing us.
Well, I do agree with John in some respect. I think what he's trying to get at is the liberals really, they want to make homosexuals a protected class.
Right, and
they want to give them more rights than the rest of us.
Right.
And that's really where my problem comes in with
it.
It's like, yeah, okay, we're all equal, but, you know, and I agree with John, you know, God loves us all. He gives us a chance to do the right thing and turn to him. And obviously, you know, a lot of people don't choose to do that. But yeah, it's like, they want to make them a protected class, and that's where the problem comes in.
I agree. John, we appreciate you giving us a call. As always, we're going to have to take a break here in a minute. When we come back, we're going to give Steve the opportunity to give us a little shameless proselytizing about what you got coming up and about your organization. But this is an interesting discussion, and you can see that it evokes a lot of emotion from people. And one of the things is this pre-existing condition, and we only have about 45 seconds, but the liberals have spread, if you let the Republicans do this, you know, if you have any disease, you're going to die. It hasn't been the case for years.
Has not. That's correct. 45 states for decades before Obamacare had high-risk health insurance pools. You're denied for health insurance in the individual market. The high-risk pool takes you. In Illinois, we call it iChip, the Illinois Comprehensive Health Insurance Plan. You carry a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois card. Only 5 states out of all 50 states did not have either a high-risk health insurance pool or a guaranteed issue individual mandate like states like Ohio had. The simple solution would be either to put a high-risk pool into those 5 states, right, or add one sentence to HIPAA law so that individual policies have the same protection against pre-existing conditions that employer-based plans do. Simple.
Exactly. So that's it. We're going to wrap it up for this segment. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up for the show. We'll do Gretchen's Action Items of the Week. We'll give Steve a chance to pitch his program, and we'll have a little more On Target Radio. So we'll be back after these messages with more On Target Radio. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
60, The Answer, with David Lombardo and Gretchen Fritz. Here's David and Gretchen with more interesting conversation on gun control, concealed carry, freedom of speech, and other red meat issues that affect your life.
And we're back with more On Target Radio and that magic moment that you wait for all week long. What can you do in the upcoming week? You can listen to a bumper that doesn't work. I have no idea, George. George is waving at me like...
Do you have my bumper, George?
Stand by. Here's Gretchen with your action items for the week.
I would just like to say that Sarah Palin was right. Okay, if you enjoy On Target Radio but don't have anything to advertise, please consider making a donation to help keep On Target Radio on the air. Go to otmediagroup.net and click on Target Radio and Sponsorship to see the Buy Now PayPal button. I put the link on Facebook earlier today. Save for USA and On Target Radio can provide speakers for your school, club, or other organization. If you need a speaker about firearm safety, the Second Amendment, or other topic, please contact D. Lombardo at saferusa.com or G.A. Fritz at saferusa.com. The following Safer USA classes are all at our office in Waterman. Saturday and Sunday, November 22nd and 23rd. Illinois Concealed Carry 1. This 16-hour class meets the training requirements for Illinois Concealed Carry, as well as Florida, Arizona, and Utah. Saturday, November 29th, get to know your platform rifle. Sunday, November 30th, NRA Range Safety Officer. To sign up for classes, go to saferusa.com and click on register. Back to you.
Thank you, Christian. I appreciate that. Can you hear me? I can't hear me. I don't know.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, that's good. Our guest this evening has been Steve Tucker, who's founder and principal broker for Health Insurance Mentors. Steve, what actually is Health Insurance Mentors?
That is our brokerage agency. You will find us at healthinsurancementors.com. And there you can buy health insurance from around the country, whether you're in Illinois.
So you cross borders.
That's correct, yeah. So if you're in Texas, you can buy it from us. If you're in Wisconsin, Indiana. But we are domiciled in Illinois, and so we've been here for 20 years, and we offer health insurance, unfortunately now because of the health care law, only once a year, and that's during open enrollment. And so this time of year is extremely busy for me. Saturday, my phone was, you know, ringing incessantly because people need coverage for pre-existing conditions. And that is one of the things that the healthcare law does, but it's also one of the things that Republican proposals do as well.
We had a call that we just, she hung up before we could get to her, but Pam from Texas called and had a concern, and you heard about it. So what's your suggestion?
Yeah, have her call me if she's in Texas. I think she something about her having problems getting coverage for prescriptions or something. Have her call me. If she's in Texas, she can call our toll-free number, which is 866-724-7123. And Illinois residents can reach me directly anytime, 630-674-1551.
And we have a website?
Website is healthinsurancementors.com, which links to truthaboutobamacare.com.
I thought there was something about you couldn't cross state lines.
Yeah, that is unfortunately part of the McCarran-Ferguson Act of 1946. I would like to see that repealed. I would like to see other things that stop true competition across borders. That's another part of the Republican proposals. All of these things that Republicans are trying to propose would naturally lower the cost of health insurance. And that's the biggest problem that we're initially facing with Obamacare. It's the cost of health insurance. We were promised by Barack Obama that, you like your plan, you can keep it, right? And then he said, my plan is going to lower premiums by $2,500, right? All of that was lies. But if we implement the solutions Republicans are asking for, we could actually achieve that.
Okay. Well, Steve, we really appreciate you coming in. We'll have to have you back in. You're a good guest.
My pleasure.
And we'd like to thank you for listening to On Target Radio, and be sure to listen next week when Gretchen and I will be covering the red meat issues that affect your life.
We'd also like to thank C. Stephen Tucker, George Hoffman on the board, our sponsors, Illinois State Rifle Association, the Aurora Sportsman's Club, Stone City Kitchen and Bath Design Center, and Safer USA.
Be sure to stay tuned for Living Sports coming up next with our good friends Russ Gangler and Joe Pinacchio. I've been mispronouncing his. I didn't talk about him for like weeks, and then I mispronounced his name. I apologize, Joe. Listen to it. And as always, thank you, Michael, for making all of this happen.